24. Ivan Kaivan recovered from his surgery with almost inhuman haste. When the nurses insisted he stay in bed, he squinted for hours at his laptop. "Working," he said, although each time Caro checked on him, he seemed to be playing video games. The titanium box gleamed on the top of his shaved head, making him look even goofier than usual. Barbara and Caro worked on the mapping data from Lorraine, Ben, and Ivan every spare moment. When Watkins summoned the two women for a progress report, Caro, groggy from too little sleep, groaned. "Come on," Barbara said. "We can do this. Just put on your medical school persona when nobody slept."
"I was younger then."
"But okay, we're ready. Even if Watkins rips our work into tatters." He did not.
"Good,"
Watkins said in his overheated room as Camilla hovered in the background.
"Very good work. I commend both of you. Keep it up, and you'll have an eminently publishable article."
He turned to Caro.
"Abruzzo is working out all right?"
"Yes, we implant George, Dr. Weigert, next, as you already know. Trevor will open and close, and I'll do the surgery. But that raises another issue. Trevor says you promised him that eventually he can be implanted. Who will be surgical backup for that operation?" Watkins said,
"Not settled yet. In good time. Before then, you'll implant me."
Caro had half expected this. She said, "I haven't heard from Dr. Luskin that he's cleared you for surgery." Watkins scowled, a horrible, inverted rictus on that ravaged face.
"All you doctors are too afraid to take chances."
"If that were true," Caro said evenly, "I wouldn't be here at all, would I?" Watkins tried to answer, but coughed instead. The cough intensified, and Camilla sprang forward. Caro waited until her great-uncle's spasm subsided. When it did, Camilla threw her an eloquent glance. Caro and Barbara left. Barbara said quietly to Caro, "Do you intend to implant him, ever?" "When I think it's safe to do so," Caro answered, aware that both she and Barbara recognized that it was no answer at all. As Caro stumbled toward her room for a nap, Molly accosted her.
"Where are you going?"
"Sleep," Caro said. "I was up most of last night working, and..." "I know you were. Barbara, too."
"Good. Take a nap, because we're going out tonight to dinner. Everybody except me and Trevor looks like shit. So I made a reservation at the Beach Hotel for everyone under 70 and over 30, except Camilla, who won't leave Watkins."
"No, don't protest, Caro. We need this." "No need to dress up. Be at the gate at 7. Caro gave up. She was too tired to argue. Molly looked more determined about this outing than Caro was about anything except sleep. And maybe a dinner out would be fun. And dinner was fun, at least after everyone had a drink and began to relax. Because the dining room at the hotel was packed, they couldn't talk about the project, which in itself was refreshing. Conversation settled on travel stories. Europe, Hawaii, New York City, Mexico, Rio de Janeiro. Julian had been to Kathmandu, but that was his only contribution. He drank steadily, growing more and more quiet. Caro limited herself to one glass of wine, which she nursed. As the meal progressed, she became increasingly aware of Trevor seated beside her, of the turn of his head, the length of his long fingers on the stem of his wine glass, the glow of his bright brown eyes whenever he turned in her direction. Why had she not noticed before how broad his shoulders were on his stocky body? He never mentioned Africa, nor Doctors Without Borders. After dinner, Molly said, "Anybody up for a quick walk on the beach? It's a lovely night." Trevor said, "Sure." Julian finally spoke.
"Not me. I'll wait for you here."
Barbara said, "I think I will too. I hurt my foot earlier and I'd better not walk on sand." Caro,
who hadn't noticed or heard anything about a foot injury, looked at Barbara, who almost imperceptibly glanced sideways at Julian, now on drink number what? Completely unlike him. Barbara, Carol realized, didn't want to leave him alone. Kind Barbara. The brief walk was hauntingly lovely. The sand under Caro's bare feet was cool and firm. A first quarter moon made a silver path on the water. A slight breeze, ruffling the water, smelled of salt tang. Molly took off her shoes and dashed into the waves, squealing. Trevor said, "Caro?" "I'll stay on dry land. I think..." "Trevor, what is it?" He'd stopped walking and put one hand over his eyes. A moment later, the gesture was over. "Sorry," he said. "It's just that this looks not even like a postcard, but a parody of a postcard. And 3 weeks ago, WHO sent me to a village in Somalia that had just..." "No, never mind. Sorry."
"Don't apologize. I can imagine how terrible the contrast must be."
"No, you can't. And I don't want to tell you, at least not now. Please don't get the idea that I'm not glad to be here. I am. Caro."
Before he could say more, Molly dashed up to them laughing and shaking water off her legs.
"You should both wade. It's so warm.
Of course, I'm comparing it with my last post in Maine, famous for freezing over in October."
"I'll match you," Trevor said lightly. "I grew up in Fairbanks."
"You win," Molly said. "Let's go collect Julian and Babs."
Babs? How much had Molly drunk?
Caro didn't find out. She drove everyone home and they separated. In her room, Caro prepared for bed, even though it was only 10 o'clock. Her sleep deficit, aided by the wine, demanded to be paid. Only, what had Trevor been about to say when Molly pelted toward them? What had Caro hoped he would say? She barely knew him. Pulling on her sleep shirt, she eyed the pile of folders on her desk. That's where her focus should be. Not on random attractions to men who bantered well. Paul Becker, Julian Day, Trevor Abruzzo. Why wasn't she ever attracted to silent types? Solid types who did not found bizarre research projects or grope female colleagues or work in traumatic war zones. Someone knocked on the door, lightly, and then harder. A key turned in the lock. Caro dashed to the door. "Who's there? I'm calling security." Julian's voice said,
"I am security. Please open, Caro."
"Julian, go away."
"I can't. I'm too drunk. And I have to tell you something."
"In the morning."
She heard him sob. Just once, stumble away from the door, and fall down. Caro unlatched the chain. Julian lay sprawled, half on the walkway, half on the grass of the courtyard. He sat up slowly. Caro demanded, "Did you hit your head? Is anything broken?" He looked at the scotch bottle in his hand.
"No, it's fine."
After a moment, he added,
"I have to tell you something. I screwed up."
In the glare of a walkway light, she studied him. He looked terrible. She said roughly,
"Come in then, for 2 minutes."
He did, stumbling a little, and fell heavily onto her desk chair. Caro yanked a robe over her sleep shirt and said,
"What did you screw up?"
He looked astonished.
"You know, Ben. Stealing all the data."
"I thought cyber protection was Aiden's job."
"Aiden was in the hospital," Julian said. "I thought you knew that."
Of course she knew that. Maybe he was drunker than she'd thought. He said,
"Do you want a drink?"
"No, and neither do you." Gently, she took the scotch bottle away from him. He didn't protest. "What did you want to tell me?"
"Ask you two things. It's important. Will you stay here if the FBI shows up?
The FBI? Why would they come here?
Not completely sure, but they might. Did you know that you saved us from them once?
I did? How on earth?
Sam, he was going to make Ralph Egan implant him if you hadn't come here.
She said instantly. Ralph wouldn't have done it. He wasn't board certified and had no backup surgeon.
What Sam wants, Sam gets. Although maybe not that time, 'cause George. Anyway, you came.
What about George? Julian was evidently a loquacious drunk. Not like Caro's father, who kept everything locked in his alcohol-sodden mind until it was too late. She pushed that thought away. Julian closed his eyes, his body so loose in her desk chair that he seemed in danger of slipping out of it. But he wasn't slurring his words, and one thought followed another in logical order. He said,
George said if Ralph implanted Sam, George would tell authorities we have an unlicensed neurosurgeon operating here. Entire project would end.
Caro gaped at him. George? He loves this project.
George is very ethical. So am I, believe it or not, which you don't.
Did she believe Julian was ethical? It depended on how you defined that word. But then, ethics always did depend on individual perception. He surprised her by saying,
Lorraine is the key, you know.
Lorraine?
Even when you construct a new universe, even when you can put into it anything you want, there is differences in people. What the rest of the algorithms in your brain let you construct, your personality, who you are with all your experiences, that.
Caro untangled this. Now Julian did sound drunk. She said, I think you should go to bed.
Can't sleep.
And then,
I gave up everything for this project.
I know. Caro felt sudden sympathy. She knew what it felt like to have your dream shattered. But the project itself is intact. It can still go forward.
You don't understand what...
He lost his thread, found it again.
What Ben could do. But you're sweet to say that. Didn't know you could be so sweet.
He lurched toward her and tried to plant a sloppy kiss on her mouth. Caro shoved him away. She wasn't afraid of him. Julian was no Paul Becker. Nonetheless, she moved toward the door as she said sharply, Don't. Caro's cell rang. It lay face up on her desk and she glanced at it. Ellen. At this hour? She snatched up the phone and answered, Ellen? Her sister screamed, loud enough that Julian stumbled sideways. The scream was followed by wailing, so primal it sounded animal rather than human. Ellen! Ellen! What?
Angelica! Angelica died! My baby died!
The room tipped as a swirling black wave swooped over Caro. Julian gripped her elbow to steady her.
What is it? Anything you need, we'll get it. Caro, I can't. Fuck it. Why the fuck did I drink so much? I can't.
She said to him, George, please, go get him. I want George.